And Srila Prabhupada certainly is giving it in an authorized way within ISKCON. Because Srila Prabhupada gave very strict instructions, one should not go outside of ISKCON. And that is probably the most significant point than any other point as far as strictly following. And this is why we say that strictly following means we strictly follow Srila Prabhupada, that if we actually want shelter, if one actually wants siksha, then he says, do not leave ISKCON. So for those who have firm faith in Srila Prabhupada's instructions, they may actually get siksha from some authorized person, but they must find it within ISKCON, because that's Srila Prabhupada's instruction. That's authorized in Srila Prabhupada. That we accept as what Srila Prabhupada has ordered. And therefore, we can accept that as the mistake of those who've actually gone outside of ISKCON.
Dahan siddhi kare hena anena dekhiye amara duskara kama toma haite vaye. Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, you can perform a task that even I cannot do, but for you, I cannot find anyone in Gaudadesh who can fulfill my mission there. Purport. Lord Chaitanya's mission is to deliver the fallen souls of this age. In this age of Kali, practically 10% of the population is fallen. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu certainly delivered many fallen souls, but his disciples mainly came from the upper classes. For example, he delivered Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and many others who were socially elevated but fallen from the spiritual point of view. Srila Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis were situated in government service. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the topmost scholar of India. Similarly, Prakashananda Saraswati was a leader of many thousands of Mayavadi sannyasis. It was Srila Nityananda Prabhu, however, who delivered persons like Jagai and Madhai. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, Amara Dushkara Karma Toma Haite Hai. Jagai and Madhai were delivered solely by Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. When they injured Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Chaitanya became angry and decided to kill them with his Sudarshana Chakra. But Nityananda Prabhu saved them from the Lord's wrath and delivered them. In the incarnation of Gaur Nittai, the Lord is not supposed to kill demons but deliver them by preaching Krishna consciousness. In the case of Jagai and Madhai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so angry that he would have immediately killed them. But Nityananda Prabhu was so kind that he not only saved them from death but elevated them to the transcendental position. Thus, what was not possible for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was carried out by Nityananda Prabhu. Similarly, if one is true to Gaur Nittai's service in the disciplic succession, he can even excel Nityananda Prabhu's service. This is the process of disciplic succession. Nityananda Prabhu delivered Jagai and Madhai, but a servant of Nityananda Prabhu, by his grace, can deliver many thousands of Jagai and Madhai. That is the special benediction of the disciplic succession. One who is situated in the disciplic succession can be understood by the result of his activities. This is always true as far as the activities of the Lord and his devotees are concerned. Therefore, Lord Shiva says, Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Of all types of worship, worship of Lord Vishnu is best, and better than the worship of Lord Vishnu is the worship of his devotee, the Vaishnava, Padma Parana. By the grace of Vishnu, a Vaishnava can render better service than Vishnu. That is the special prerogative of a Vaishnava. The Lord actually wants to see his servants work more gloriously than himself. For instance, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Sri Krishna provoked Arjuna to fight because all the warriors on the battlefield were died by Krishna's plan. Krishna himself did not want to take credit, rather he wanted Arjuna to take credit. Therefore, he asked him to fight and win fame. Tasmat tam tishta yasho vahasva jitva shatrun bhukshva rajyam samvidham mayai vayite nihita purahameva nimata matram bhava savyasachin. Therefore, get up and prepare to fight. After conquering your enemies, you enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement, and you, O Savyasachin, can be but an instrument in the fight. Bhagavad Gita 11:32. Thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives credit to a devotee who performs any heavy task perfectly. Hanumanji or Vajrangaji, the servant of Lord Ramachandra, also serves as another example. It was Hanumanji who jumped over the sea in one leap and reached the shore of Lanka from the shore of Bharatavarsha. When Lord Ramachandra chose to go there, he paved the way with stones, although by his will the stones were able to float on the sea. If we simply follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions and follow in the footsteps of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, this Krishna consciousness movement can advance, and even more difficult tasks can be performed by the preachers remaining faithful to the service of the Lord. Om again to Mahan Sirgana Dinasavya Chakshana Vitamya Tajma Shiva Devi Maha Kam Karoti Vachana Bangam Gayati Yadu Nati Patamaha Madhe Shiva Nidhana. So Lord Chaitanya is speaking to Lord Nityananda, and of course he's presenting himself in such a way that even I cannot fulfill this task. Only you are capable of actually fulfilling my mission, and therefore Lord Chaitanya had instructed Lord Nityananda to not come to Jagannath Puri each year, but he told him that he wanted him to stay in Bengal to fulfill his desire. Many of the devotees from Jagannath Puri each year, many of the devotees from Shantipuri each year would go to Jagannath Puri to associate with Lord Chaitanya. As we know, Lord Chaitanya was remaining in Jagannath Puri for the later years of his life, and he promised that he would stay there. Therefore, the devotees each year they would go to take part in the Rath Yatra festival, and they would stay there for a period of 4 months. And Lord Chaitanya was instructing Lord Nityananda to not come every year. Of course, although that instruction was given to Lord Nityananda, Lord Nityananda still came. And we can understand that Prabhupada explains, I believe, in the purport, the explanation that when Lord Chaitanya gave the instruction that better than to see Lord Jagannath is to execute the order of the Lord. This is a higher principle. But nonetheless, Lord Nityananda still, who can understand the activities or pastimes of the Supreme Lord, although he was ordered by Lord Chaitanya to not come, still he came in order to take association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But nonetheless, the instruction was still fulfilled by Lord Nityananda, as described here in this purport, that Lord Nityananda was able to actually fulfill the order of Lord Chaitanya by going to Bengal. He traveled throughout the tract of land of Gaudiya Desh, and he delivered so many thousands and thousands and thousands of living entities to take up chanting the holy name of his worshipful Lord, Sri Gauranga. And Prabhupada explains that Lord Chaitanya, he delivered or accepted disciples mainly from the upper classes of society. He gives the example of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and many others who were socially elevated but fall from the spiritual point of view. It's like we were speaking about last night, the point that that one may be in a very, very high position in society, but that is not the criteria of his being elevated on the spiritual status of life. So Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they were big government ministers. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, of course, was a very learned scholar, logician. Prakashananda Saraswati, he was a leader of many thousands of Mayavadi sannyasis. They were, according to social status, were very, very elevated positions. And Lord Chaitanya, of course, made them his disciples. And we understand that although their elevated position in materialistic society, although they were in an elevated position in materialistic society, they nonetheless adopted the renunciate, the life of renunciants. Rupa and Sanatana Goswami gave up their government positions and they fully devoted themselves to the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is, we were speaking last time we were here about how Sanatana Goswami had the order of Lord Chaitanya to go to Vrindavan and to write transcendental literature, to teach how to accept the renounced order of life, to excavate the various places of pilgrimages, various places of pilgrimage where Lord Krishna's pastimes had been enacted, to teach devotional service in the life of a devotee, Vaishnava characteristics. Sanatana Goswami was instructed by Lord Chaitanya to live in a very, very renounced way, as well as Srila Rupa Goswami, who also lived in a very, very renounced way. They did not maintain their high positions in society. And they certainly fulfilled the desires of the Lord by writing so many volumes and volumes and volumes of transcendental literature, expanding on the intimate pastimes of the Supreme Lord. As Prabhupada explains, that Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they were sent to Vrindavan to preach, to write books. And Lord Nityananda, he was sent to Bengal. And Prabhupada explains the entire rest of the world was left for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to deliver fallen conditioned souls. So, therefore, Prabhupada, in that purport, he's illustrating this point that the rest of the world can be delivered for one who's actually true to the service of Sri Sri Gaurinitai. This is the principle of the disciplic succession. That he can even excel the service of the Supreme Lord, the service of Lord Nityananda. And Prabhupada says that this is the process of disciplic succession. Nityananda Prabhu delivered Jagai and Madhai, but a servant of Nityananda Prabhu by his grace can deliver many thousands of Jagais and Madhais. That is a special benediction of the disciplic succession. One is situated in the disciplic succession can be understood by the result of his activities. This is always true as far as the activities of the Lord and his devotees are concerned. So, Prabhupada is explaining here, obviously, that one can understand by the result, just as he would oftentimes quote, Palena Paratiyate, that you judge a thing by itself, or you judge a fruit by a judge a tree by its fruit. So, although it is not simply a fact that when we look at the results, we simply look at the quantity. Although, just like we understand that, we can see that from Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji came one very powerful disciple, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. And although Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji did not accept any other disciples, one may say that the result of his activities may not be anywhere in comparison to the results of those who may have delivered many, many thousands of conditioned souls. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, obviously, he was also empowered in the same way in this receiving the special benediction of the disciplic succession. And therefore, by the power of the disciplic succession, the Lord manifests his will through the activities of his devotees. Without the sanction of the Supreme Lord, obviously one can never be successful in the execution of his service to the Lord. But when the devotee of the Lord has a very, very strong desire, just like Prabhupada explains this point in the verse of the Bhagavatam, Tasyapi Drastra Ishasya Kutas Tasya Kilatmana. He said, in this verse, inspired by him only, inspired by him only, I create which has already been created by him under his vision as the all-pervading super soul. And I alone am also created by, and I am also created by him alone. Lord Brahma speaks this verse, saying that how what was already done by the Lord, he was inspired by him to do it. Of course, just as the Lord told Arjuna in this verse that Prabhupada quotes here in this purport, that therefore get up and prepare to fight. After conquering your enemies, you will enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement, and you also, Yasachin, can be but an instrument in the fight. In other words, the Lord, he arranges a plan, and but yet the Lord, when he arranges a plan, he wants the devotee to actually be the instrument and the devotee to receive the credit. This is how the Lord fulfills his pastimes. The Lord, we can understand the Lord's pastimes are not only simply when the Lord appears within this world and manifests his eternal pastimes for the sake of the fallen conditioned souls, but the Lord's pastimes continue to expand by the mere presence of his instruments, the unalloyed devotees of the Lord, who are instruments for the will of the Lord. And therefore, Arjuna, or anyone else who is true to the service of the Lord, who is fully surrendered in proportion to his surrender to the Lord, Prabhupada explains that in that purport, in proportion to his surrender to the Lord will use him as an appropriate instrument for the execution of his will. It is not possible to estimate just how the degree of success a devotee of the Lord is capable of actually achieving. Certainly we know that the topmost success of life in execution of his service, the topmost perfection of life, is to always be situated in constant remembrance of the Lord. And for one who actually gives up his body and at the same time of giving up his body remembers the Supreme Lord, then that is understood to be the ultimate success or perfection of life, to be fully situated in pure Krishna consciousness. Yet, in order to come to that stage of being always situated in the remembrance of the Lord, one actually has to be very, very determined to be engaged in the service of the Lord in this life. It is not possible that one will actually be able to remember the Supreme Lord if throughout this life he does not actually practice fulfilling the instructions of the Supreme Lord as delivered to the Lord's devotees. And in proportion to one's surrender to those instructions, then he can be empowered by the grace of the Lord to fulfill the Lord's desire. So although it may be said that when the Lord says, I cannot do it myself, I am not capable of doing it, but you can do it. We must understand the type of relationship that exists between the Lord and the devotee. That the Lord simply, of course, he can do it himself. He's capable of doing anything by his desire. But he selects those devotees who are so fully surrendered to the Lord to do something which is even himself, which is not that he's not capable of doing it, but he wants his devotee to do it. But the devotee is always thinking that I'm not doing it. I'm simply an instrument in the hands of the Lord. And it is by the Lord's wish, by the Lord's desire, that any successful result can become manifest. This is the type of relationship that exists between the pure devotee and the Lord. The pure devotee is never thinking himself to be the doer of activities. He is always thinking himself simply to be an instrument for the service of the Lord. And whatever manifests by his efforts, he realizes fully that this such a manifestation is a manifestation of the Lord's will. And therefore the competition begins between the pure devotee and the Lord, the pure devotee thinking himself to be inadequate to render service to the Lord, and the Lord wanting to give the credit to the pure devotee and insisting that the pure devotee take responsibility, accept the glorification, accept the recognition. And the pure devotee is always disinterested and continuously putting it back on the Supreme Lord. Such is the manifestation of reciprocation of love between the Lord and his unalloyed servants. in proportion to that devotee's surrender, he doesn't want it, then the Lord is very much inclined to give more and more, because the devotee does not want it for himself. He doesn't want glorification, he doesn't want recognition, he doesn't want followers, he doesn't want accumulation of wealth. He's disinterested in all of these things. His primary concern is, what does the Lord want? And therefore, when the Lord sees the devotee so disinterested in any type of material position or material prosperity, the Lord is very much inclined to give him fame. He's very much inclined to give him fortune, just as we were describing the last time we were here, of how Sudama Brahman was disinterested in opulence. But the Lord ordered him to arrange for him to accept it. Same with Prahlad Maharaj. He was not interested in these things, but the Lord ordered him to become, to stay within the material world and to become the king and take over the kingdom of Hiranyakashipu. He was not inclined. He didn't want these things, but the Lord nonetheless wanted him to have prosperity and wanted to live for so many thousands and thousands of years in a life of prosperity. So the Lord is very much inclined to give that, although the devotee may be disinterested in receiving anything for himself. So this is the principle of disciplic succession, is that the devotee of the Lord can be seen to be capable of performing such Herculean tasks. And therefore, as Prabhupada says here, that one who is situated in disciplic succession can be understood by the result of his activities. Therefore, we can see that Srila Prabhupada, obviously by his transcendental vision of being surrendered to the Lord, he was always thinking himself to be incapable. He was not thinking himself to be the doer of activities. But he was nonetheless seeing that a true servant of the Lord can produce such wonderful results by the mercy of the Lord. And he would always point out to these results. Whenever Srila Prabhupada would speak, especially speaking to his godbrothers or speaking to the media, he would always show them, emphasize that, look how many books we have published. We have so many temples all over the world. We have so many followers. And he would emphasize his points, but not out of vanity. There would be no vanity whatsoever, even a thread of vanity in his statements. But he would say that this is testimony, that look at the result. We can understand that the result is there because the Lord's desire, the Lord's blessings are there. One cannot be possibly successful in execution of his devotional service without the blessings of the Lord, without the blessings of the pure devotee. So Srila Prabhupada obviously was the indicator of one who has actually received the blessings of the disciplic succession, as we can see by the result of his activities. Just as we continue to see on the strength of Srila Prabhupada's order, this transcendental order, how the Krishna consciousness movement continues to expand in such a way that so many conditioned souls are actually coming in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Their lives are actually changing, their devotional service is beginning simply by becoming in contact with this movement. And therefore, just as we were also saying last night, in answer to the question about the immediate deliverance that one achieves by the mercy of the Lord, that anyone who comes in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement and actually comes in contact with Srila Prabhupada's books, comes in contact with the holy name of the Lord, then from that point his devotional service can begin. And certainly his whole course in his transmigration throughout this material world, repeated birth and death, can be changed simply by a moment's association, a contact with this movement. So that we can understand that can only take place if the blessings of the disciplic succession are there. Without the blessings of the disciplic succession, one's heart cannot be changed and one's course in life cannot be changed to actually take a devotional service. That empowerment must be there. And therefore,
And it can only happen by ultimately by the will of the Lord. So, these are the points that are being brought out here in this purport by Srila Prabhupada as he's speaking about Lord Nityananda, who is instructed by Lord Chaitanya to preach, to go to Bengal and preach, and similarly, for those who are servants of Lord Nityananda, they also may achieve even something greater than Lord Nityananda by the mercy of the disciplic succession. So, the result may not be something that is immediately tangible or immediately manifest, but for one who has firm faith in the disciplic succession and firm faith in the order, as well as Srila Prabhupada would always emphasize, that if one actually has this firm faith in the transcendental order, then these results will become manifest, but they're simply separated by time. And sometimes the devotees may feel discouraged that, well, what about these results? That we're always immediately true to mentality, thinking that the result should be there. The result is not there. Then one can lose faith in the order, one can lose faith in the process, become discouraged, and begin to think that actually one cannot be successful in his endeavors. But the Lord, sometimes he wants to see how much the devotee is painstakingly willing to painstakingly execute the order, and therefore it may take time before that result is manifested. And just as we were reading last time also from Prabhupada Lilamrita, we were reading about Srila Prabhupada's struggles in the early days of establishing the movement, and yet there was no big immediate result to his efforts. But it was always the firm faith that he had in his willingness to live in the most austere conditions. As we were reading the description of the place, the loft in the Bowery, when Srila Prabhupada had left Midtown Manhattan to move to the Bowery, and there was such a very graphic description of the Bowery that Srila Prabhupada was entering into on a recommendation that he go to a place where there may be more receptivity. So although Srila Prabhupada had some comfortable place, nonetheless he was willing to go to such a place as that loft in the Bowery, because he was willing to accept anything for the service of the Lord. It was a test. And therefore the devotees are always being tested as to what they're willing to accept for the service of the Lord, how much they're willing to accept some inconvenience, how much they're willing to actually make personal sacrifices, and always be fixed in what is the actual service that I've been entrusted with. If he always thinks in this way, then we can understand that a devotee can become successful and can actually see gradually the unfolding of the Lord's will become manifest before his eyes and before everyone else, as Prabhupada would always speak of how he was seeing the Krishna consciousness movement unfolding and expanding throughout the world. He was always simply a witness to these activities. And he would never think himself to be that, I am doing these activities, I am witnessing these activities. I am witnessing it because the blessings of the Lord are there. The blessings of the succession are there. Therefore, I am actually given the opportunity to witness all this take place. This is how the pure devotee is thinking. We should not immediately judge that a person's success in his execution of devotional service by some immediate fruit. But we have to see how much the devotee is willing to painstakingly execute the service which has been given to him, and be steady in the execution of that service. And then we can understand that in due course of time, the Lord may select such a devotee and use him to fulfill his purposes, which is always, of course, the desire of the Lord. The desire of the Lord is to engage all living beings. He's maintaining all living entities, and he's quite capable of engaging each and every one of us in a service that will be completely fulfilling and satisfying to the self, and which will be a service which will be very pleasing to him as well. That is the special benediction of Lord Chaitanya, that he's come to actually give this devotional service to everybody. That is, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes so much that is the special benediction in this age. That as we were reading in the purport as well last night to the song that we were chanting, that the special benediction of this age is that Lord Chaitanya has come to give devotional service without restriction. That means that each and every one of us actually has the opportunity to render service which is pleasing to the Lord. This devotional service is becoming so easily available. So if we simply accept that service and remain true and steady to the execution of that service, then certainly we can capture the attention of the Lord, and we can invoke the blessings of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, and we can also witness the success of our endeavors for Krishna consciousness by our attempt to please the pure devotee of the Lord. This is the real criteria of success in devotional service. And the Lord is very much inclined to give such successes to those devotees who serve Him without any personal motivation. Certainly, one who is always thinking in this way, free from pride, free from desire for fruit and results, can be seen to be very, very successful in due course of time by the arrangement of the Lord. So the Lord will arrange it in that way, just as described here in this verse, Tasmat Tvam Utishtaya Sholadhasva. Get up and prepare to fight. After conquering your enemies, you will enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement, and you, O Savyasachin, can be but an instrument in the fight. Krishna is telling Arjuna, you will get everything. You will enjoy a flourishing kingdom. You will get this prosperity. And you will get the opportunity to become an instrument in my plan. The result is already there. So we simply have to become inspired to execute the order. And by that inspiration received through the transcendental disciplic succession, one can actually enjoy all success, both in this life and in the next. We understand success in this life means that a devotee is successful in manifesting the Lord's will, and its success in the next life certainly is that the devotee becomes an eternal associate of the Lord and goes wherever the Lord wishes him to go, whether he goes back home, back to Godhead, whether he comes back again to the material world to execute the service of the Lord. This is not really of any significance to the devotee. The devotee will do whatever the Lord pleases. And such confidential service of the Lord certainly always enjoy the association of the Supreme Lord, wherever they may be, in hell, wherever they are in heaven, or liberated state. They are confidential servants of the Lord. So this is real success, and a devotee can enjoy success in this life and in the next life simply by the mercy of the order which is given in the disciplic succession. So questions, comments? Before we go on. Not executed what? Regularly?
Yes. Is it the Lord's desire? He doesn't want the service to be done every day? Or is it the devotee's desire that he doesn't want to worship the Lord? I don't understand.
If one's devotional service is not regular, it's not by the desire of the Lord. It's not regular, it's due to the lack of determination of the executor. The Lord is very much inclined to give devotional service to everyone. That, as we were explaining, that is the special benediction of Lord Chaitanya, is to actually to make this devotional service available to anyone simply who takes up the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. One who sincerely takes up the chanting of Srila Prabhupada always emphasizes, wherever we read Srila Prabhupada's vision for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement was in the distribution of the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And he would always emphasize constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the criteria of success. Because it is by that chanting that actually the devotee is actually invoking the Lord's reciprocation. The devotee is chanting, constant chanting, he's actually praying for the opportunity to be engaged in devotional service. That is the meaning of it, is constant chanting. Oh Lord, please engage me in devotional service. So, therefore, if a devotee does not have constant devotional service, it is not because the Lord, it's not that the Lord is not inclined to give it to him. The Lord is inclined to give it to anyone who actually takes up this chanting of the holy names. But it is due to our own weakness and determination to accept that which the Lord is making available to us. That's actually, in a moment we can be, in a moment we can actually be fully surrendered to the Lord. But it's due to the attachments within the heart, due to our own desires, that we are still stuck in a position of not being fully engaged in devotional service. This is not the Lord's will, as we're explaining also. I guess this is a Sunday feast lecture. Last time I was here, we were explaining this point from the verse of the Bhagavad Gita, that it is the Lord within the heart who is actually fulfilling the desire of the living entity. And although externally we may be very busy wanting to be engaged in devotional service, but within the heart, if the heart is still so many desires that are there and we're cultivating these desires, we may experience that our devotional service is not executed with any kind of steadiness, that it is sometimes manifest and sometimes not manifest. And this back and forth manifestation and unmanifestation of devotional service is because of our own lack of determination and because of our own desires, and therefore the Lord is simply sanctioning our desires. But His sanction of our desires doesn't mean that that's His desire. The Lord sanctions our desire to be intermittently engaged in devotional service. It is not because it is His desire. He is simply fulfilling our desires. The Lord wants every one of us to be engaged fully in devotional service, 100%. He wants all living entities to actually become eternal associates and enter back into the spiritual realm. That is His desire. Why are we not there? It's not because it's the Lord's desire. We're not there because of our desire. The devotee should always feel that the responsibility falls on him to actually cultivate the desire to actually be fully engaged in devotional service. And therefore, in the Upadeshamrita, Srila Prabhupada describes that this devotional service is a sort of cultivation. We have to cultivate the desire. Although it's there, lying dormant, it's covered. And unless we cultivate that desire to be fully engaged in devotional service, then it will never become manifest, except in the case, of course, in some cases, by, as we were reading also last night in the purport, sometimes the Lord may give special mercy, a kripa siddha. He may receive the benediction of the Lord by some service rendered to the Lord. Maybe the Lord may become inclined to actually give him special mercy and deliver the devotee completely. But these are such exceptional cases. But nonetheless, we have to cultivate the desire to be fully engaged in devotional service. And when that desire is cultivated by constant chanting, by our continuous chanting and praying, by our desire to be take every opportunity to engage in the service of the Lord, when every facility is there that is given to us, then the Lord will naturally reciprocate with that cultivation of the desire by endowing us with the opportunity of bestowing upon us opportunity for further service. So we should never blame the Lord for our lack of devotional service. The Lord wants us to come back to Him even much more and to be fully engaged much more than we want to. But we have to cultivate the desire for devotional service by our endeavors to be always engaged in chanting and serving. Then gradually devotional service becomes more fully manifest. Whereas in the beginning of devotional service, it's not manifest. It's only very, very partially manifested. Which, as Prabhupada describes in the
sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, devotional services, one may get abhasa rupa, or a slight glimpse of devotional service, but then gradually it becomes more manifest and more frequently. And then, of course, in the heart of one who has actually developed love for God, that devotional service is fully manifest. In the beginning, there may only be a slight glimpse of devotional service. It may not be manifest very much at all. One may be filled with many other motivations. But if he actually has a glimpse, then by that slight glimpse of devotional service, certainly he can water that seed of devotional service which has been planted by the mercy of the Vaishnava. That slight glimpse may be there by a moment's association, and then by continuing to water that desire for devotional service through the process of hearing and chanting, that devotional service can further grow and flourish by the continual watering process. But the seed of devotional service, that must be planted within the heart by the mercy of the Vaishnava. That's where the seed for devotional service can actually comes. Although pure love is there within the heart, still it must be awakened by having received the desire to serve the Lord through the mercy of the Vaishnava. And therefore it may be only momentarily manifested by his mercy. But then after that momentary manifestation, then one actually has to cultivate, as we explained. Cultivation means the watering process. That is how one cultivates. You cultivate, just like a seed has to be cultivated, the weeds have to be taken out. And once it grows into a little plant, if one is not careful to take out the weeds, that type of cultivation also must be there. And then watering process, this is, one has to be very, very careful in the garden, because if the weeds are not taken out, the garden isn't regularly cultivated, then the result is that the seed can be, the plant can be choked. So in the same way, our devotional service has to be properly cultivated by both hearing and chanting and by uprooting the weeds and desires which are preventing us from being fully absorbed 100% in devotional service. Yes. This Brahman what?
Very often.
And today
we hear about how the
Yes, the examples are there, but therefore a devotee will always accept opulence which is given by the Lord. That should be the criteria. The devotee should not unnecessarily endeavor for opulence if it's not sanctioned by the Lord. But if by a devotee's main concern, especially in the neophytic stage of devotional service, opulence can be a very major distraction. Because as soon as one becomes proud of his opulence, becomes proud of his ability to control through his opulence, then obviously it can cause him to be distracted from devotional service and to deviate. So, therefore, a devotee does not unnecessarily endeavor for opulence. A devotee always simply endeavors to engage in service. And if the Lord gives it opulence, then a devotee accepts it for the service of the Lord. And that was the point that we were making, that the Suddhama Brahman, he didn't want the opulence for himself. He was actually, it was simply because he would have his faithful and chaste and devoted wife, and he went to Lord Krishna in the first place. But Krishna understood his heart that he didn't actually even want the opulence himself. He wasn't even thinking of enjoying the opulence. But nonetheless, the Lord fulfilled it, fulfilled that request, and Suddhama Brahman accepted it. But he wasn't thinking of enjoying it for himself. He was always thinking, and Prabhupada makes that point, that the devotee always accepts whatever opulence the Lord gives for the purposes of preaching Krishna consciousness. So although a devotee may be surrounded by opulence, he's never thinking that that he wants it for his own personal enjoyment, but he's always very anxious to use that opulence, everything, for expanding the glories of the Lord. And this way he'll be, this is Yukta Vairagya, he'll be able to remain unattached and free from bondage. But as soon as he thinks that he's the enjoyer of that opulence, then Puna Mushika Bhava, the Lord again becomes a mouse. Even though he may still have that opulence, externally it may manifest himself, he may manifest that opulence, it may be seen that he's surrounded by so much opulence, but Srila Prabhupada explains in the 8th canto of the Bhagavatam that such opulence, if it's not actually used in the service of the Lord, was not actually received by the Lord. Such opulence, the Lord gives opulence to his devotees, to those who are actually capable of always using it for the service of the Lord. Therefore, one may receive opulence, but it simply may be a result of his past pious activities. And therefore, just as we gave the example last night, just as one may have the position of the king, if he has a crown on his head, that crown, if it's properly engaged when it's bowed down before the Lord, but if it's not bowed down before the Lord, then that crown becomes a very heavy weight.